Yeah, we can do that off of the meeting view if we want.
Okay. Excuse me, I would like to inform all participants that today's conference call is being recorded. If you have any objections, you may disconnect at this time. Thank you. You may begin.
Okay, thank you. So should we just read the names on the recording and have anyone... I don't happen to have it in front of me at the moment.
I have it in front of me. I'm sure Gwen
Shall doesn't. I do it? Yes.
Please.
On the call, we have Chuck Gomes, Tony Harris from ISP, Steve Del Bianco from the business constituency, Avery Doria, the chair, Carlos Souza from non-commercial constituency, David Geezer, Stacey Burnett, and Liz Gaster from staff, Tony Holmes, ISP, and Lee Urgen from IPC.
Okay, thank
and
you.
Myself.
Okay, no conference calls with other people there. Okay, one of the things that I wanted to start with, and welcome, and I guess this is actually for me it's the first meeting of the new year. I understand some of you have already been involved in some others. One of the things about what's sort of developing in this call is this had been sort of imagined as a call of the council to initially go through some of the who is discussion in detail. It has actually gone on longer and more substantively than had been my original expectation for it. I'm not sure that, you know, perhaps other people had understood how it would go. And it's almost looking like one of those drafting teams that we put together to draft a motion to bring something forward to the council so that it can take a vote, because at the moment we still don't have a motion that we can vote on. So I had basically asked, once I realized this and once I realized that this wasn't just a quick discussion that was ending but was really a process following Chuck or the RC, I mean the Registry Constituency proposed working track, that we do need to be more organized about it. And in the process of realizing that, I asked Chuck if, as vice chair of the council and as, you know, the person that brought us the RC proposal, whether he would be willing to coordinate chair this particular effort. And I did a horrible thing. I sprang it on him basically an hour before the meeting, if he read his mail as quickly as I sent it, and so gave him very little time to prepare. But also he was basically saying that he was willing, as long as other people in the group didn't object, and of course I should let you speak for yourself, Chuck.
And of course, if someone else wants to volunteer for that role, I'm perfectly open to that.
Although I would hope it would be a council member just to keep things coordinated. Do I hear anybody volunteering? So, what I had thought of for this meeting was that we still needed to go, and I'll turn it over to Chuck in a second, but just before I do, that I thought we would go over the values and see if we were getting closer on having them. We had sort of set a deadline at the last set, and then also perhaps we want to talk about Liz's definitions, or the definitions that Liz gathered that have been, you know, received some comment in editing. I don't mean to say that Liz's definitions, but Liz did the work of collecting them. So if that's okay as an agenda, and if it's okay to have Chuck coordinate lead this, and if it's okay with Chuck, I turn it over to Chuck.
I have a question. Tony Harris here.
Sure.
When you're referring to Liz Gaster's document, I'm not sure which it is, and I may be missing one or two.
Okay, she sent it out on the mailing list, and it was a mail. I'd have to find the mail. It was Who is Study Terminology Draft Working Definitions, V1.doc.
And the date was?
And it was prepared on 23 December. Let me see if I can find the mail.
Yeah, it was sent on 23 December also, and it was also posted to the Wiki Workspace for Who is Discussion.
Okay, fine. Thanks. That'll help me find it.
Okay, and I should have put out an agenda, and I apologize. As I said, it took me by surprise how sort of formal this became as opposed to just a quick discussion. So I apologize for that.
Okay, does anybody object to me coordinating? Okay, then I will do so with understand no preparation. So Aubrey did send it about an hour ago, but I took a little break from my previous two-hour meeting and didn't jump back on until about 10 minutes before this, so apologize for that. Let me suggest a plan, and I'm perfectly open to changing the order. It seems like it would be helpful if we do a quick regrouping on the working Excel file that's posted on the wiki. Several constituencies have provided input there, but not everybody, and I think it would be very helpful if we agree on a plan moving forward on that. So I would suggest we start there, and then that we talk about the definitions, and Tim Ruiz sent some files around on that today as well. Now, just a quick question on that. Liz, is what he sent around identical to what you sent, or were some changes made?
No, Tim edited the...
His version was edited, so we might want to use that. That was just sent this morning or today, depending on where you're at in the world, and in fact, within the last hour. So I would suggest then we talk about that, and then any other business we need to. Comments on that? Any objections? If we want to do it in a different order or add other things to our agenda today? Okay. Hearing none, then I'm looking at the working Excel file on the wiki, and if you're not there, you can go to the council site, and you'll see that there's a link up in the upper right there to Who Is Discussion, and that'll take you right to that wiki. And it has Liz, is this current? I think we did have some input within the last week to this. Has this been updated?
Yeah, it does reflect the BC input.
Okay, yeah, I see BC's on there. Good. Okay, so it looks to me like the BC, the NCUC, the registrars, the registries have all submitted input into this. It looks like we don't have anything from the IPC, the ISCPC, or the NOMCOM reps. And I think, Aubrey, you were going to coordinate with the other NOMCOM reps on that. Is that correct?
Yeah, and I can give some update on that.
Okay. And then we haven't heard from the ALAC or the GAC either in that regard. And the message, as I recall, was sent out to them as well. Who was that sent to for the ALAC and the GAC? Liz, do you know?
It was sent to... I mean, Alan is on the list for the ALAC.
Did we send it to the ICANN staff people supporting those like we started to do in other areas?
I did with the GAC, and I'm just trying to remember on the ALAC what I did.
Chuck and Liz, this is Steve. Can I ask a quick question on that?
Sure.
In the letters to the GAC and ALAC, we asked them for a particular point in time that we needed a reply, and did we sort of hint at the degree of detail we were looking for in the reply?
I'll have to go back and look, sorry.
Yeah, if you'll do that, Liz, that would be appreciated. And Lee, I know that you haven't participated in some of these meetings, so if you need any points of clarification, please just jump right in and ask.
Sounds good, Chuck.
Okay.
And on the IPC, I think the issue is that they had previously done the high, medium, the three, and it needed to be converted.
Yeah, just to zero to five.
Yeah, this is Lee. I mean, I think we can do that pretty quickly because we have provided the verbal document that built upon, you know, Chuck, the RISE's original proposal or summary. So yeah, I mean, yeah, I'm sorry if we've been holding up anything. We certainly can add the numeric values into the schedule pretty quickly.
That would be great.
Right, Chuck?
There's one other item, Lee, and that is also feasibility, and the approach there is I think a zero if you think it's not a feasible study, a one if you think it's feasible.
No, actually, it was a one if you thought it was a minus one if you thought it wasn't, and a zero if you didn't
know
or didn't care.
Oh, okay,
or whatever.
Thanks. Oh, okay. All right, and it's that is on just above the spreadsheet if I had looked. So, thanks, Aubrey.
Okay. Yeah, I'm at the wiki right now. I see that.
So you see it. So if you guys could get that in quickly, that would be appreciated.
Yeah.
Either one of the Tonys, is it possible for the ISCPC to get that done this week?
Yes, it is, Chuck.
That would be great, Tony. Thanks.
I'll take the blame for not doing that sooner, Chuck.
Okay.
We have been traveling. Unfortunately, wasn't able to get to it these last few days.
So it's all Tony Harris's fault. So thanks,
that's right,
Tony. I appreciate that.
Argentina is in default, and
that's
it's
right.
No joke. Actually, that may happen.
It's the middle of summer, and his air conditioning is down, so he's got an excuse. But if you guys can get it done this week, that would be really helpful.
Okay.
And then Aubrey, can you?
Basically, I have tried to get the three of us to do it, and just can't seem to find the ability to get us all to do it. And so one of the things I'm suggesting, might suggest, is that, and it's based on something we talked about with the GAC at the last meeting, concerning the GAC at the last meeting, is that if we can't get it together, and I'll give it one more try to actually come up with ice, because I thought that it either had to be all three of us doing it and averaging those as a single value, or that we shouldn't do it, because it shouldn't be just one of us or just two of us. It really should be all three of us combining and from our different perspectives, that we should just drop the column from the table and from the statistics drawn, because a non-action on our part is different than a deliberate, you know, saying no, zero. So, you know, we shouldn't be a default zero, and this was one of the things that came out, I think, last time in the GAC discussion, that, you know, we can't just assume zeros where they didn't give and fives where they did give, because that gives a funny weighting.
Yep.
And so, basically, I will try one more time to get my fellows and I to actually do it, but if we don't, I think our column should be dropped.
Now, do we have we're using the Who Is list, is that right?
I believe we've been using the council plus those who have been announced.
So we've just been a modified council list that adds the others?
Yeah.
Would
because
it make
this
sense?
Is a council activity at the moment to come up with our motion.
Right, but we have several people that aren't on the council. So as long as we always remember to add them, that's okay. Would it make sense to just go ahead and create a list for this? Hopefully it won't go too much longer, but I'm just curious what people think. I don't want to be in a situation where we've left somebody off because they're not on the council. Glenn, is it relatively easy to set up a list for this?
It's very easy to set up a list. Chuck, if you would like me to set one up.
If nobody objects, I would suggest that. And it's basically the council list.
Yes.
Plus the added people, including alternates, in cases where there are alternates.
Right, I'll do that.
Okay, thanks, Glenn. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
And then, Liz, will you follow up with the ALAC and the GAC, not only the liaisons? I'm not even sure. I get the impression that we were told that the GAC really doesn't have a liaison anymore.
Right, they don't believe in them anymore.
So if you could communicate to GAC chair and vice chairs and the secretariat and ICANN staff support person for the GAC, and the, similar to the ALAC as applicable there, and just let them know that we'd like their input, but that if we don't get it, let's see, we're on Wednesday. It may be a little bit much to say this week, but within, say, 7 days, that for now we will delete that column so that we can go ahead and move forward, because we're dragging this thing out quite a bit further than we had intended, I think, or thought that would happen.
Yes, okay.
You got that?
Yes.
Okay, thanks. I appreciate that. And then hopefully a week, in fact, it'd be nice, I don't know if we, Is it too soon to shoot for another meeting next week where we can actually look at all of the data that has been submitted? Should we shoot for 2 weeks, or is next week okay? What do you think? I'm thinking the same day and time.
Chuck, this is Steve. Next week is the Internet Caucus State of the Net event, so there are a few of us in Washington and probably would not be available next Wednesday.
So maybe we ought to shoot for 2 weeks? What does that week look like? Let me take a quick look myself.
21 January.
Should we shoot then for any final input not later than the 16th, Friday the 16th of January, and shoot for our next meeting on the 21st? That would give 3 days or so and over a weekend. Not suggesting that you work on weekends, but for Liz to pull everything together so that we have a little bit of advance notice for people to look at the final results. Is that okay? Anybody object to that or want to modify it in any way? All right.
Just one thing, it's Liz. I went back through my notes, and I think the GAC had told us that they did not have further input on prioritizing the studies. I will check on the ALAC, and I'll confirm both, and I'll send the notes for sure as we discussed, but I think we already got feedback from the GAC. There was no more feedback.
And do they know that, you know, it's going to be hard for us to... we can't translate their feedback into the numerical numbers.
I don't know if they really appreciate that, but I will try to convey it.
Yeah.
Chuck, this is Steve. Can I ask a question?
Sure.
We all know that the GAC operates at a glacial pace when it has to actually come up with an official GAC position. So it's unrealistic to expect the GAC to reply, but a handful of governments that were very active in WHOIS might, on their own behalf, give us some indication. I'm speaking of France, Canada, United States, Brazil, to name a few. Is it even worth any outreach to those members, and to invite the GAC to circulate to its member governments, because we would welcome a member government comment, not just a GAC official comment?
What do others think? I'm open to doing that.
I think that's a good idea, Chuck.
I'm uncomfortable with this problem.
Mm-hmm. Can you give...
Basically, because what we're then doing is sort of singling out a couple active governments and sort of treating that as, the GAC, and basically turning them into representatives of the GAC. Certainly, you know, this is all going to go out for comments, so I'll be able to comment and stuff, but this is really trying to gather... You know, the constituencies, the committees, and in fact, I was never quite sure of the three NCAs as being, you know, a valid category. But, and so at that point, what we're saying is that there's a couple activist governments, and we turn them into, are we doing them averaged? Are we doing them each as individuals? It just strikes me as problematic in terms of figuring out what, you know, we as the GNSO Council are going to vote on at this point. Obviously, taking the comments in, obviously everyone knows that the GAC has put in some of these, and they're taking that into account in their own evaluation one way or another. But it just makes me uncomfortable in terms of turning a few governments into representing all governments.
Now, another approach would be for us to go ahead and proceed without GAC input, and include the input from the constituencies that are going to do it later this week, and maybe the ALAC if they do it, and then present that to the GAC and any other groups that don't participate in this part, and for comments, not necessarily adding numerical values at that time, but for final comments before we approve any motions at the council level. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, Chuck, just a question to Avery before you answer that.
Go ahead, Tony.
Had you assumed, Avery, that this would be put to the GAC as an option, that we wouldn't just approach government when you made that comment?
Sorry, I didn't understand the question.
Well, the proposal that was made for... potentially some governments, if they're that interested, to provide some input. I assume that that would have been put to the GAC as an option that they would consider rather than us going straight to government.
Oh, no, I hadn't understood it that way. I had understood it as we would go to the few activists we know of, you know.
Right. And
some of the well-known names that we know of who are active and say, hey, you know, I know you guys are willing to participate differently. Please.
Okay, so my question is, would you take the same view if we did it that way, if we made that an offer to the GAC to consider?
Oh, if the GAC is willing to say, hey, we put together a group or a group of us did this together, but, you know, take this as GAC, no. As I say, if the GAC does it, however the GAC does it, is okay with me. But if it comes from the GAC.
Okay, because that's what I thought Steve was proposing, rather than just go direct, so maybe that offers a way out.
Steve?
Tony, here's what I would clarify. We're waiting for Liz to confirm, but the understanding here is that we've already, a week or two ago, communicated directly to the GAC, inviting them to score. So they know that we've asked.
But those two things aren't necessarily the same. On the one hand, we've made the offer for the GAC, and your point was that to come to some GAC position takes them forever. If they were comfortable with having a few people working inside and providing feedback to us, is that a halfway house? That's the way I viewed your proposal. Maybe I've got it wrong.
Let's ask the GAC if they'd like to do that. But independent of that, there's a opportunity to ask France, Canada, U.S., and Brazil if they would wish to participate as individual governments as well. And other governments might be upset that we didn't contact them all. This could end up being more of a mess than it's worth.
Sure.
A lot of this is atmospheric. We want to show the governments that how they interact with council is they can start to join working groups and start to participate. So some of this is conditioning, and I don't really have a high expectation that anyone will take the time to score this document. Our key is to make sure we can say at every turn we considered what the GAC asked for and that we always solicited their input, and we would have been glad to take it had they been willing to offer it.
I think going and asking them whether they want to put together a small group, my expectation is that they couldn't get GAC blessing to do it, and it would still come out as representative, and that's a real problem for them. I think sending it to the GAC once we've done it and saying we would definitely appreciate your comment on this, and, you know, at that point getting back, we've told you what we're going to tell you, if that's what we get back, would be fine, but... You know, I think that's an excellent thing that I'm not at all uncomfortable with.
And then it might be less problematic to ask to make it or communicate that we would also accept comments from individual GAC members. Would that make sense?
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Anybody opposed to that approach?
Yeah, the phrase that we always could add there, and of course we're always interested in hearing from the members of the GAC in their individual capacity. And at that point, you know, we've said that.
So it seems to me then, if we go that approach, that we still need the communication to the ALAC, but at this point it may not make sense communicating again to the GAC. Thoughts on that?
If Liz confirms that we've already sent them a note 2 weeks ago, I don't see the point of sending another.
This is Liz. It wasn't 2 weeks ago. I'm having trouble finding things at the moment, but it was before then. In the previous round, I apologize for not being able to find it yet, but so I think, you know, it sounds like to be prudent, we should ask again.
It was in the round before numbers.
It was
in the
round
you were
before
just
numbers.
Asking
okay,
for, letter, for names.
Thanks, Aubrey.
So we have not sent out, when we started doing this numerical thing, we didn't send out anything to the GAC?
Right.
Oh, okay. That's unfortunate, I think. Okay, so we do need to communicate with the GAC. Again, I don't think much is, you know, the chances of getting much back is really slim. It seems like the only person that is halfway responsive is Fairtron. And even the other governments that were mentioned aren't good at responding to email, so, or at least from what I've seen, certainly not the U.S. government. So go ahead, Steve.
Doc, I was going to mention yesterday I was in a meeting, an off-the-record meeting. Suzanne Sen was there. We were discussing new GTLDs. But Suzanne Sen, who's the U.S. governor of the GAC, happened to decide to mention to everybody that WHO IS was an example of where the GAC was mystified, that when they presented a letter to the board, that somehow the board handed it to the council. And I don't know what part of bottom-up she missed, but they were. She professed still not to understand how it is that GAC needs to work with councils on things that the board has council work on. And that's why we have to condition them. We have to train GAC members and individual governments that they can participate directly at council by showing up on working groups. We can't miss any opportunity to condition them that way if we ever hope to bring the governments into the process.
Yeah, bottom-up doesn't apply to governments, does it? Sorry about that. Sarcasm. But Steve's right. we're going to have to bend a little bit and try and figure out how we can successfully work with the GAC, and I think that'll be part of the GNSO improvements processes, and hopefully we can get some people like Bertrand involved to help us in that regard. He is the one person that's willing to commit some effort to this. So, and maybe there are a few others.
At personal risk on occasion.
What's that?
At personal risk on occasion. His
Federal
governments don't always
love
what he does.
Understand. So, okay, well
hey,
then.
Chuck,
go ahead.
Tim, I just wanted to let everyone know that I joined.
Thanks, Tim. Appreciate that.
A little bit ago, yep.
I was watching your email exchanges here, one during our meeting, and I was, except for the fact that I'm leading this meeting, I was going to fire one off to you and say, are you going to join us? Thanks. What we're talking about, Tim, is wrapping up this the Excel table. The missing constituencies have already committed that they, and Aubrey, also in the case of the NOMCOM, have committed to get their data in quickly, hopefully this week. Aubrey's not sure she'll be able to pull it off with the NOMCOMs. If they don't, then we'll probably just delete that column per Aubrey's suggestion. And so that on the 2 weeks from today, we will have a meeting at the same time ask that any final input be in by the, that would be on the 21st, ask that any final input to that table be given by the, be in by the 16th so that Liz can update the table, do the averages or whatever calculations we're going to do to see where things are, and so that we can come together on the 21st, and then at that point I would think we would start to be ready to discuss some possible motions going forward. Does that make sense?
Yep.
Okay. Anything else on the on the Excel table? Okay. And Liz, you're clear on what needs to be done on your part there, right?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you very much, and you'll communicate that deadline of the 16th for the numerical things, and we should make it clear that there'll still be opportunity for input after that. We're not trying to cut people off, but in order for us to move forward, which the GAC is also criticizing us about, we need to start getting to a point where we can make some decisions. Okay?
Great. Sure.
All right. And then we go to the definitions. Tim, I saw your emails, but I opened the one up, but I frankly did it too late before this meeting to really see the changes that you made. Could you? It looks like they're highlighted, right? Are they highlighted, the changes?
Right, yeah, they should.
Okay, okay. I just noticed that. You can see how much I looked at your document because it was just a couple minutes before the meeting that I saw it. You want to maybe Liz, first of all, do you want to talk about the what you produce? Not necessarily, you don't necessarily have to go through it all, but do you have any comments about what you produced late last year?
Not really, other than just to say that, you know, this was done in order to respond to the request from the council, and we're absolutely not wedded to any of these terms. They don't, you know, these are difficult terms to define. There's a lot to them, and it was just intended as a starting point for community consideration. So this does not, you know, reflect the opinion of ICANN staff in any way, and should not be viewed as the you know, etched in stone, just working documents for your consideration and review.
Thanks, Liz. Tim, why don't you just kind of walk us through the changes, the edits that you suggested in what you just sent around, and if people have that up in front of them, that would be helpful.
This is Lee. I'm sorry to interrupt, Chuck. Have others had difficulty opening Tim's document? Because Tim, you were kind enough to resend it around in PDF form, but I still couldn't open it, so I'm trying to figure out if it's just on my end or if others have had difficulty. And Chuck, it sounds like you could open it just fine.
I used the second send. I didn't even try the first one because they were both in my inbox when I saw it.
I've been able to open both the PDF and the RTF.
Yeah, so obviously it's my issue. Okay, sorry everyone. I'll see if I can get it sorted out. Unfortunately, I'm just not going to have it up on my screen in front of
us. So because of that, Tim, you may need to add a little bit more context to the changes that you made to help Lee and any others that haven't been able to pull it up.
Right. Okay. Well, the first one that I'm suggesting is in the first term, undesirable content. And it's only in regard to the examples of undesirable content, which says examples of undesirable content may include. And there was two that I changed. The first one that I changed was originally it said pornography, hate talk, questionable chat rooms. And to me it just seemed like that just raised more issues about what those things mean. So I thought a better example might be something very explicit like child pornography. It's very clear that that's illegal in just about everywhere you can think of. And then the second one that I changed, pretty much for the same reason, gambling and violent gaming sites. I felt a better example might be to kind of break out part of the first one, and I just included hate sites that intend to incite violence or other illegal activities. I personally feel, you know, the gambling and the violent gaming sites are not very good examples for this particular thing, you know. And again, we're just talking about examples, so I just thought things that were more very clear and explicit and didn't themselves have questions about what they might mean would be better examples.
Any comments on that?
I have comments on other stuff in that one, but not on those.
Okay, well, first of all, let's see, any comments on Tim's suggested changes?
Go ahead.
This is Carlos.
Okay.
Go ahead,
Carlos. Okay, now just to say that to us, it seems like a very good change in order to remove violent gaming sites, because it can be very specific, and to put something like hate sites to incite violence is to us that is broad and fits, I believe, the scope of the clause. So pretty good changes.
So you support the changes?
Yes.
Thank you.
I support to remove gambling and violent gaming sites. And we could have some feedback from NCC. It's still open for discussion with the guys, but it seems to us that to remove the original wording, it sounds fine to us.
Thank you. And I think all of us will have a chance to go back to our constituencies will have a chance to comment, review and comment on anything that comes out of this. So we should assume that. Anything else on Tim's suggestion in this section? The examples of undesirable content. Okay, Aubrey.
I did have in this section. You dealt, Bianca.
So you also have, not with regard to Tim, though?
Well, it's the same section, but not the same two items.
Okay, so Aubrey's in queue, and then you, Steve.
And same for me. Carlos again.
Okay. Aubrey, go ahead.
Okay, yeah. I guess I start off with the first sentence having some problem. Content that is intentionally annoying. I mean, I think that would include Republican Party mailings to Democrat Party members. Inappropriate, it could be virile drugs to women. So I think that those terms are much too general, intentionally annoying or inappropriate. I mean, offensive is a difficult enough term, but that one, you know, I think we can argue over what offensive means. But annoying or inappropriate just seem extremely broad.
This is Liz. Could I just interrupt for procedure? Should I be trying to capture these as live edits to
I would appreciate that.
Okay. Thanks.
Okay. So, Aubrey, you're suggesting deleting intentionally annoying and inappropriate, and for the sake of Lee and any others that don't have this in front of them, the sentence currently reads, and this is the first sentence under undesirable content, content that is intentionally annoying, offensive, or inappropriate to the individual, the organization, the community, or the society as a whole. And so if I'm understanding you correctly, you're suggesting that it simply say content that is intentionally offensive to the individual, the organization, et cetera?
Yeah.
Now, what does is intentionally a helpful word?
I'm not sure, but
how do we determine intentionality?
The thing is, did I intend to offend is a difficult question. But, you know, anything can be taken offense of. So, as I said, I think there's things that we can talk about in terms of the definition of those definitional terms. But at least intention and offense seem to make sense as notions that would be, you know, included in such a definition, that there is offense and that there is intentionality. I was really objecting to appropriateness and annoyingness.
Yeah, okay. Thank you. Comments on Aubrey's point. Is anybody opposed to that change? So we're deleting annoying and inappropriate. I have some concern about the word intentional just because I'm not sure you can really measure that, but I can live with it.
I mean, Chuck, this is Lee. It's hard for me to really react, unfortunately, and I don't mean to bog us all down, but without seeing everything in black and white. And I think your comment earlier about everyone having the opportunity to go back to their constituency and deliberate about this further, you know, that resonated with me in any event.
Lee, this is Liz. I did send it to you in plain text. I hope you got it just in an email.
I was just thinking about doing that myself. Thanks for doing that, Liz.
Sure.
Yeah, I would think of marking these words perhaps for deletion, but certainly not removing them at this point. While
put them in brackets.
Bracketing them or whatever, yeah. I mean,
I'm not trying
to say they should disappear from the document before people get a chance to talk about them.
Okay, good.
Right now I have them just in track changes, so we could always reverse.
Yeah, this is Lee. I mean, something like that sounds good to me if we're going to go through and maybe do some sort of track change thing that then we can study further in black and white. I think that seems fair.
Now, a procedure question from me. Where do these definitions fit going forward? Are they going to be a part of the recommendations as far as any future studies? Where will these be
used? If I can give a background on it, I'm sure Liz can add to that. What came out is basically in putting together this list of possible studies, these were words that were used that it was perhaps not going to be clear to those preparing the studies what may or may not be meant by them. So the idea was to develop a set of working definitions, not definitive definitions, and I know that's a weird phrase, but not final definitions, not the true definitions, but just working definitions that would allow those preparing the studies to have some idea of what we meant.
Thanks, Aubrey. That's helpful. Any other comments on Aubrey's? Okay, let's go to Steve.
This will be fast and easy. In any guidance we want to give to a consultant about this undesirable content, we've got to include the catchphrase phishing, because that is actually the most pernicious form of consumer fraud. And so the word phishing should make its way into the second bullet of spam emails, including unsolicited emails that contain viruses, phishing lures, frauds, or links to objectionable content.
So you would add the phishing
expression. That's right, phishing lures. And it'll just help these people that we hire so that they'll understand, oh, this is what they mean. This is where phishing fits in, that's all.
Lee, do you now have this in front of you?
I haven't gotten it yet from Liz.
Okay,
I trust that it's on its way.
That's okay. That's why I asked, so I'll read it. So the
I hope it's left my mountain. In the hands of the network, I'm sorry.
No problem. The second example is reads like this now. Spam emails, including unsolicited emails that contain viruses, frauds, or links to objectionable content, and there's a URL there. What Steve is suggesting is that we add to the that contain viruses, frauds, etc. That we add phishing in there.
Yeah, I'm fully in support of that.
Okay. Any objections to Steve's suggestion? Okay, good. And then we have Carlos.
Chuck, just a question on the same topic. On the last item, government restricted or censored information. My question here is, and I'm really not used to that type of wording, when we begin this item, undesirable content, it says that content is intentionally annoying, offensive, inappropriate to individuals, organizations, community, or society. When we come to that item, we're talking about a content that is not desirable, not by organization, community, or society, but for government itself. So my question is, we are addressing here information that comes from the government and are protected by some public order or any other interests, or we are addressing issues regarding censorship and the other restrictions to freedom of speech. So it was not clear to me what we are talking about, and if you are talking about censorship, the common censorship issues, I'm quite not sure that we could or that we should put it under this item.
Well, another question I would add to that, Carlos, is which government applies? Is any individual government that censors some information or restricts it, does that then become undesirable content?
I'm really not sure about this specific item, this government restricted or censored information, but my question is it a common word that ICANN staff usually applies on documents pertaining those types of information?
Which word specifically? The whole phrase?
The government restricted or censored information.
No, it isn't any. I don't think it's typically used in the. Although others may know better, I didn't. This is something I found in doing some research on the question. And you'll see some sites below in the text. It's attempted to capture the fact that governments have different views about what might be offensive, and it's just intended to capture that notion that countries may take a more or less restrictive approach to what is undesirable content. There is undesirable content.
Does it make any sense, and the legal people have to help me out here, but does it make any sense taking an approach like we did on new GTLDs, even though that's being questioned a lot right now, to refer to any restrictions based on international agreements or law?
Yeah, it's problematic here that we put in an item that says that something is not desirable or something is restricted, parting or deriving from a decision made by a government or a couple of governments, because we are not talking about here a content that had been declared offensive by a judiciary power, or we're talking about an executive order saying that something is restricted or something censored in the country. So I'm really not sure how to phrase that, and even if that item belongs to this first undesirable content here.
So one option would be to delete this item.
Yeah, I think I do not have an official NCC position on that, but probably that's an item that we will have a stronger position from NCC.
What do others think on that?
This is Liz, if I could jump in.
Sure.
I do think that when you look at the other bullets of examples, this one does really stand out as distinct because I think the others are more universally viewed as undesirable. And this is attempting to capture the concept that a government may define whole categories of content undesirable, but it's not necessarily universal at all. So I think that deleting the bullet might make sense. And Carlos, I would ask you in the paragraph below the bullet, where we explain more about the global perspective, the fact that in the world today, countries differ in terms of how governments may define undesirable content, and whether you think that just descriptive subparagraph standing alone sort of captures the notion without having the bullet. So I think it might be good to delete the bullet, and I wonder if you have any concern about the text of the paragraph below.
Yeah, I'll probably reread the paragraph, but at first I think it's a good idea just to delete this bullet. Good point.
Okay. Anybody opposed to deleting government-restricted or censored information as an example? Okay. Anything else on this section under undesirable content? Okay. The next category then is misuse. Tim, you didn't make any changes there, did you?
No, I didn't.
Anybody else want to comment on that section?
I have a comment.
Okay. Aubrey, go ahead. And Lee, would, I assume you still haven't received that. Do you want me to read the paragraph to you? It's just one paragraph. Lee, are you there? Did we lose Lee? Let me look
or
at
is
my...
Or on mute.
Let me look at my... where is my...
He's still there, Chuck.
Yeah, it looks like he's still there. Okay.
He's still there.
All right, well, Aubrey, go ahead.
Right, mine was just on a clause, the abuse of personal data, and I was wondering whether we couldn't be more specific and say basically the use of personal data for purposes other than for which it was collected or other than by those for whom it was collected or something of that as opposed to just the abuse, and be slightly more explicit about what abuse of personal data is, which is, yes, using it by people for whom it was not intended, for purposes for which it was not intended.
Any comments on that?
It's a good idea.
Yeah, it seems to make sense to me. Anybody opposed to that? Liz, were you able to capture that? You need a little time there.
And I know I did.
Yeah, I think we might want to be more precise about for purposes beyond the purpose intended. Or you know, to make sure it's clear, the purpose understood by the, you know.
Of course, you never know what's understood, so that's not necessarily.
The purpose disclosed to the provider.
That's good. Okay, but yes, I've got
if
it.
If anything was disclosed, which may not
yeah.
have been.
Right.
Yeah, right. Okay. Anything else on the misuse paragraph? And Lee, if you want me to read that one, just let me know. Okay, let's go on to the commercial purpose paragraph, and I don't see any changes there either. Tim, is that correct?
Correct, not for me.
Anybody else have comments on that one? Okay. And then proxy and privacy services is section 4 there. And, Tim, you did suggest some changes there. You want to talk about those?
Yeah, first I removed the comment that proxy services are a subset of privacy services. I don't know if they are or not, but it's really kind of irrelevant. There's two different types of services. One's a privacy service, one's proxy. So I just felt it best to just define both and not necessarily imply any relationship otherwise. And then I just split up the two definitions and expanded on the proxy services definition. And so the proxy service definition now reads Proxy services protect users' privacy by having a third party register the name. The third party is most often the proxy service itself. The third party allows the user to access and use the domain name through a separate agreement or some other arrangement directly with the user. Proxy service providers may include web design, law, and marketing firms, web hosts, registrars, subsidiaries, resellers, and individuals. And I believe the privacy, I don't think I really changed. Although it looks like I changed that first time. I believe that was actually there before. I'm not sure how that got highlighted, but I could be wrong. The first sentence of the privacy, so privacy services hide customer details from going into who is. And the rest of the paragraph, privacy service providers, which may include registrars and resellers, may offer alternate contact information and mail forwarding services while not actually shielding the domain name registrant's identity. By shielding the user in these ways, these services are promoted as a means of protecting personal privacy, free speech, and human rights, and avoiding personal data misuse. And the only other change I thought about there was that that last sentence might be coined more as an opinion than a statement of fact. But
which sentence are you referring to, Tim?
And then the privacy where it says, by shielding the user in these ways, these services are promoted as a means of protecting personal privacy, free speech, and human rights, and avoiding personal data misuse.
And so what change were you thinking about in that?
Well, just that whether, you know, I don't know if they're all promoted that way or not. I don't know if it really matters. But,
okay.
You know.
Okay. Any questions or comments of what Tim's suggesting? Any opposition to the changes? Okay. And again, we'll all get a chance to look at this again. Probably for the sake of those that aren't on this call, it'd be good to keep this highlighted versions and add any along with highlights that are from any that we've made in this session. Okay.
Chuck, I'm working off of Tim's version now.
Excellent.
So,
okay,
yeah.
That makes it easy. Thanks, Liz. I appreciate you being ahead of the game there. Anything else on proxy and privacy services? The fifth one, then, is relay information requests, and it doesn't look like you made any changes there, Tim. Does anybody else have a comment in that regard? Okay. How about six, falsify who is data? Tim, it looks like you have a change there. You want to talk about that, please?
Yeah, the last sentence of that originally read, if I have this right, ICANN therefore expects registries and registrars to collect accurate information and prevent false information while at the same time providing mechanisms to protect privacy. And I had an issue with ICANN expects us to prevent. Now, that may be true, but in reality, all that registrars are required to do, I believe registries may, perhaps it's the same, is to collect accurate information and take appropriate action if false information is discovered or suspected. And so that's the way that I changed that sentence.
Why don't you read the whole sentence as you've changed it?
It says, ICANN therefore expects registries and registrars to collect accurate information and to take appropriate action if false information is discovered or suspected, while at the same time providing mechanisms to protect privacy.
Any problems with that sentence?
Just on that, I would have preferred it if maybe we could have molded the word prevent into Tim's change. If it said something like to take appropriate actions to prevent, is that possible?
Tim?
The only issue I have is that it implies that there's some requirement on registries or registrars to prevent false data up front, and there isn't. It just isn't. Now, maybe there should be, maybe there will be, whatever, but it's certainly not any expectation that we're aware of at this point. So it's just an attempt to try to be accurate in what the current situation is.
Hi, Tim. This is Stacy Burnett from ICANN, and I completely concur with your analysis that there's no requirement to collect accurate information only after you receive a complaint that there's a possible inaccuracy. Does a requirement kick in under the RAA?
And I have a question, Attorney Harris.
Go ahead, Tony.
Yeah, is there an ICANN requirement to provide mechanisms to protect privacy?
Stacey, you want to respond to that?
You know, I want to review the RAA in that regard, but my gut response is no. There is a requirement to investigate claims of inaccuracy, but to have mechanisms in place to do that, I don't think so. But I want to review the RAA one more time.
So what we ought to do is put that last phrase there while at the same time providing mechanisms protect privacy in brackets.
One comment.
Hello.
Second.
Can I complete my point?
Oh, sure, Tony. And then we'll go to Aubrey.
I'm sorry. Just to complete my point, I think that providing mechanisms to protect privacy would be probably proxy services as a practice, right? So basically that is being provided on a voluntary basis by the registrars, to my understanding at least.
Right.
Yeah, this is Tim Chuck. The way I read that, and I can see where that could be an issue, and I don't have a problem with that last part coming out. I guess the way I look at that was that we do have some requirements to protect the data, to make sure that we inform the registrant of how their data is being used, et cetera, et cetera. So that may be on what it was intended there. But I agree with Tony that it sounds like it's coming off much different, and there certainly is no requirement that we provide privacy services.
And it would be consistent with deleting the word prevent because there's no requirement for that.
Before we take
right,
it out,
right.
I'd like to comment.
Yeah, go ahead. Go ahead, Aubrey.
Right, yeah. I think what might be accurate is while at the same time providing mechanisms to protect privacy as required by national law.
Yeah.
I think that that's the requirement that the registrars find themselves under in terms of protecting privacy, not that it's an ICANN rule, but there's a variety of national and perhaps even some international regimes that do have privacy requirements that are, you know, that impinge on what a registrar can't or can't do.
So in other words, we could say, while at the same time providing mechanisms to protect privacy as required by national law.
Or as required by law, yeah.
As required by law, yeah, that would be fine.
Chuck, can I come back on the
sure,
comment? I don't know whether we can put something in that clarifies what appropriate action is, taking account of the comments from Tim and Stacey, but to me that means that someone has to make a subjective judgment on what that appropriate action is, and who is that? Where is that going to come from? Or is it totally open?
Well,
the way I look at it now, it is totally open. Appropriate action means you can do whatever you want to, really.
Well, we wouldn't really lose too much if you take the word appropriate out, would we? If that's a problem.
Can I get in queue with Tony Harris?
Sure, go ahead, Tony.
Yeah, well, just looking back at what these last few years of discussions have been about protection of privacy, I would be very cautious about this phrase, providing mechanisms to protect privacy. I mean, and I'm sure Milton would be ecstatic if we leave that in, but I don't think it's been a consensus amongst all the constituencies as to how that would be done. And it sounds like we're sort of defining it there.
And you're talking about that last phrase?
Yeah, it's, you know, protecting privacy. I mean, that's probably the root of the whole who is discussion. And there's a sentence there which is spelling it out in some way.
What's your suggestion in that? Do you have a...
I wouldn't mention that.
You wouldn't even mention providing mechanisms to protect privacy?
No, because, Tim's point, I think, was quite appropriate. Rather than be mechanisms to protect privacy, there would be as from what he said, it would be consumers would be alerted or informed about taking measures on their privacy or some wording to that effect. But something which is generic and which is saying who is about protecting privacy, I don't think we've come to that agreement yet, but I may be wrong.
Aubrey, you want to talk?
I want to make sure. Okay, yeah. I don't think we're actually saying that who is about privacy, and I don't think there's any, you know, need to name it the Milton issue, but I think that there are indeed national rules that restrict what those who collect data can do about them and privacy regards. So I think that just taking into account that the registrars are forced by law to protect privacy and that therefore when we're talking about the falsification and the correction and the publication, that national law needs to be taken into account. That's all I was, you know, suggesting. Not that the who is about privacy. It's just that national law doesn't need to be respected.
Chuck, can I respond?
I would hope you would.
Yeah. Basically, I think Gary has a good point. But we're looking at number six, which is falsify who is data, right? I'm not too sure where there is a need to mention mechanisms to protect privacy when we're really worried here. We're concerned in this paragraph about people who falsify their data. That's just a simple point, really.
So I think there are two points on the table right now. If my mind's on track here. Number one, Tony Holmes questioned the use of the word appropriate in front of action there. And then we also have that last phrase, whether we should leave it in as modified by Aubrey or just take it out. Let's go back to Tony Holmes' comment about appropriate. Tony, would you be more comfortable if the word appropriate was not there?
Yes, I would.
Does anybody have an objection to that? Okay, then we'll delete the word appropriate as far as the red line version goes. Now let's go to the, and Aubrey, I think you're supporting.
And in fact, I think my support just got stronger with the removal of the word appropriate. Because, for example, someone could therefore sort of say, well, we suspect that there is false information in these, and we therefore will publish this information in all the newspapers and ask anybody to send us notification if they know that this data is not true. Now, that may be appropriate, it may not be appropriate, and I do defer to Tony's definition of how do we appraise that that's appropriate. But that may also be legal or illegal within some national law. And so therefore, yes, leaving out the subjective judgment of appropriateness is okay as long as we admit that we remain bound by national law and that I can, at an international level, cannot attempt to sort of say, well, we said it has to be accurate and we think, yes. So that's why I think I even more strongly advocate the phrase with by national law if we take out appropriate, which I have no argument with.
Tony Harris, would you like to respond to that?
Yes, I'd be uncomfortable with that. I think we're getting way past the intent of this paragraph, but that's just my opinion.
Okay, let me ask some others to jump into this discussion to see if you can help us reach some sort of rough consensus on that. We've got two different viewpoints on this. Anybody else have a thought that might help?
Steve Delgado, with the word required, be appropriate for, would be better than the word appropriate. It's a required action.
I would support that as well. I've been struggling with removing it, and it does drop both ways, I think, Steve's proposal. Resolve the first.
So to take required action instead of appropriate action.
Yeah.
Right, and required there implies both your contractual requirements with ICANN married with whatever legal restrictions you have in the country in which you're incorporated.
all about required and legal.
I believe that required captures both legal and contractual.
Not being a lawyer, I don't know the hell.
I mean, the first sentence actually, you know, says falsifying who is date is an issue that balances the need to balance the technical and legal requirements of who is domain name registration records with the right to register on privacy. Kind of predicated there in that first sentence. Is that? And then if we change to take required action, it's sort of that required is sort of then based on taking into account the technical and legal requirements, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah,
I've already built in there.
Yeah, okay.
So that last phrase, while at the same time providing mechanisms for privacy, may not be needed.
This is Steve DelBianco. I mean, you were going to get to that a little later, but I would agree with Tony that we do not want that in there.
Do not want one in there, Steve.
The very last sentence that Tim added, it says, while at the same time providing mechanisms to protect privacy. I don't think that belongs in discussion of falsification. It belongs in other places.
That was me. So no, I wasn't
okay.
Trying to add anything.
Got it. Good point.
I would support removing that last part.
Thanks, Tim.
And Aubrey, with the discussion that's gone on and putting a required in there instead of appropriate, are you okay with that?
Yeah, I guess.
Okay. You'll concede, not totally excited, but you're okay.
That's right. I won't quibble any further.
Thanks. Okay. All right. Anything else on falsified who is data? All right. Natural persons. Tim, you made a couple changes there.
Yeah. I just changed a minor change where it says a real living individual as opposed to a legal person, which is a company, business, partnership, nonprofit entity, to which may be. I'm not certain even all businesses, partnerships, or whatever necessarily qualify as legal persons. That's just pretty minor change that could go either way. But then the second sentence, which said, registrants declare whether they are registering a domain name as a natural person or legal person at the time of registration. I changed that to registrants indicate whether they are registering the domain name one way or the other. And because I don't think it's really clear that registrants really do that. It's certainly not a explicit requirement on registrars to have registrants declare that. It is an explicit requirement that we collect the information on a registrant. If that information given is the information of a natural person, then that's what we can assume is they're indicating. If they give the registrant information as that of a business, then we can assume that they're indicating that it's likely a legal person.
I have a question there, Tim.
But declare just kind of makes it sound as if there's some specific declaration that they're required to make, and that's just not true.
But do they really indicate? Even if you change to indicate, does that really happen? I understand that you, based on the information you received, reach some sort of a conclusion, but is the registrant really doing either one, declaring or indicating?
Well,
can I get a cue?
I just said that's a good question, Chuck.
Tony, go ahead.
Yeah, just a curiosity question, actually, but I mean, most people who go in and complete a template for a domain name, would they know that, what a legal person is or a natural person?
That's a good question.
I have my doubts about that.
Yeah, and my point is, I don't think there's any step taken by registrants to even make that decision. Again, a lot of us in the registration business, you know, jump to conclusions based on the information they provided, whether they're a natural person or a legal person. But I don't think the registrant makes that choice in any way, even if it's just indication. So I'm wondering whether that sentence is valid at all.
If it doesn't produce an automatic operational result, does it make any sense?
Yeah,
right,
exactly. Liz, you put that in there. You have any comments?
I think the question is, you know, whether it happens or not, whether registrants actually do indicate in some way, or whether, and I don't know the answer.
There's nothing to prevent a registrar from asking for that information, I don't believe. But I don't think it's not a thing that happens universally.
Well, one thing we could do is simply say registrants may indicate.
Or maybe that... that an assumption is made based on the information they provide. So that an assumption may be made based on the information that they provide.
But let's hold on a second. I mean, what are we trying? What does that sentence accomplish? Natural persons are defined in the first sentence, right?
I think the real point is that it may not be clear whether registrants are registering domain names as natural persons or legal persons.
Then maybe that's what we should say.
As I take a step back, I think that's the real point, right? We want to, or some want to, protect the privacy of individuals, but it isn't clear when registrants register whether they are, for the most part, whether they are natural persons or not.
So maybe we should say, go ahead, Tim.
I was just going to agree with Liz on that, because I think that probably then gets more to the point of some of the studies that are using that term and what the study is about. That's probably more appropriate to that, to our needs.
So, Liz, you actually came up with a sentence that might work there. I can't repeat it, but... when you said it's often not clear.
Yeah, what I wrote now is it's not clear whether registrants are registering a domain name as a natural person or a legal person. I know it's not quite.
And we could say you could add the word often there. It is often not clear because there are times, for example, if the registrant is an incorporated entity and that's part of their, you know, it's a Inc. or a LLC or something like that, it becomes more clear. But so, but it is often not clear.
That's what I've got.
Good. Any objections to that? Anything else on natural persons? Okay. The last one is adequate protective measures, and I think the only change there was capitalizing. Tim, go ahead, talk to your change there in the last sentence.
Well, the last sentence originally said proxy and privacy services are also used as WHOIS protective measures, making personally identifiable domain name user information unavailable to automated query. And I'm sure this will be somewhat controversial, but I took out proxy, and that's why I capitalized privacy, which I think should be capitalized everywhere anyway, so that it's clear where it's consistent. But simply because in a proxy situation, the proxy is the registrant of record, and so their information is published, and their personally identifiable domain name user information is available to automated and public query. So that's why I took that out. If someone feels there needs to be further explanation, I have no problem with that, but I think just including proxy in that sentence is not accurate.
Questions or comments? Anybody opposed to that change? Okay. Anything else on the definition? It's okay if you wait until, Liz, until Glenn gets the new list established. But once that's established, can you send I would appreciate it if you would send around a red line version, including Tim's edits that remained, and other changes that we made today.
Yes, it's ready to go whenever the list is ready. So
okay.
I'll coordinate with Glenn.
And what I will try to do once that list is ready is do a quick summary of what we did today. It'll be very brief, high level, so that including the fact that I took over the coordination of this, and if anybody has any objections, please speak up or volunteer. So I think we've several of us have action items with regard to finishing off the Excel table, I think we have that done. Anything else, any other business that we need to discuss today?
Jeff, okay. This is Carlos.
Sure, Carlos.
Just a question. Do we have a deadline for submitting comments to the definitions, or no, we're just keep going, working on the eventual motion and leave it with no deadlines for the definitions?
Well, it's a good question, Carlos, and I would recommend, Liz, when you send out this red line, that you encourage on-list discussion of those, so that and hopefully with a little lead time before our next Who Is meeting in 2 weeks, so that we could discuss those, any additional suggested edits or comments from constituencies like Carlos is suggesting, in our next call. Is that okay?
Yes.
It's fine.
Is that good? And again, that doesn't mean that edits to those have to end at 2 weeks from now, but at least give us a target, and hopefully we're getting close to a final document by then. So, Liz, in other words, if you can encourage members of this group, including all counselors, to send those around to their constituencies, so that and get any feedback prior to that meeting 2 weeks from now, and then we'll, Glenn, if you can just go ahead and schedule a Who Is meeting for 2 weeks from now, that would be helpful.
I'll do that, Chuck.
Anything else? Thanks, Carlos, for that. Good point.
Thank you.
Hey, thanks, everybody. Have a good day.
Yeah, thank you very much.
Okay.
Thanks, Chuck.
Okay.
Thanks, Chuck.
Bye.
Thanks. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Thank you for participating in today's conference call. You may disconnect at this time.